Bienvenue dans Négatif, le podcast qui donne la parole aux créateurs et créatrices d'images et de sons. Je m'appelle Thibaut Elie et je suis aujourd'hui avec Maxime Rodriguez à la Cinémathèque du documentaire logée à la bibliothèque du Centre Pompidou. Nous sommes allés à la rencontre d'un grand réalisateur ukrainien à l'occasion de la rétrospective qui lui est consacrée. Une fois n'est pas coutume, un entretien en anglais. Bonjour Sergei Loznitsa. You were born in the USSR and you graduated as a mathematician in Ukraine and worked in the Institute of Cybernetics. Then you entered the Gerasimov Institute of Cinematography, the famous Moscow Film School, and graduated in 1997. From this time, you directed a great number of movies, both in fiction, you were in competition in the Cannes Film Festival, and documentary, the most important part of your work. Your documentaries combine different styles. Some of them, such as Maiden in 2014, follow the events of the present time, but others are made from film archives, historical found footage, such as Blokada in 2005, a film about the siege of Leningrad in World War II, or The Trial in 2018 about a fictitious Soviet political trial of engineers. However, today we are going to talk about the making of your last movie, Stage Funeral, Funeral d'Etat, also made from found footage. It is an unprecedented montage editing of the images shot during the days after Stalin's death in March 1953. With this two-hour-long movie, you recreate how the Soviet people gave a last tribute to comrade Stalin and also mourned him for days. First, we'd like to ask you, in which context did you found this film archive?
This is an archive from a Russian state archive from Krasnogorsk. And this is one of the biggest state archive for documentary and for this kind of footage. And this footage was shot in 1953 in March. During 2 weeks, they shot how country farewell with Stalin. And they made film Great Farewell. And after the first screening for these authorities, this film was banned, whole footage was banned. And till end of 90s, it was under censor. And nobody have seen that. And 29 years later, I discovered that in archive, and I said, oh la la, such a fantastic footage, and nobody made a film, how it possible, and made this film.
How many hours of footage did you find?
It is 35 hours, that footage, and footage was in quite good condition.
Some of the footage is in black and white, some of it is in color. Everything has been restored and shows a great picture quality. Technically speaking, how was the footage you found?
All of that footage in 35mm. And in Soviet Union, long time was not, they don't use 16mm. And it was only 35mm cameras, lab and everything. And I think in 50s and 60s it was for special purpose because only special cameramen who work on the studio can shoot. It's not like now, everybody can shoot. And in Soviet Union everything is secret, and the person with photo camera, it's already a spy, and you know, it's dangerous. And some of the footage was in good condition, some of was a little bit dirty and with the scratches. We work 2 months and clean from all these scratches and dust. And fix many things. And also, it was a very good light set and color grading was very good done. And now with new technology, you can make fantastic things. And I think remastering version of different kind of films, this film and show this film in another way for us and even archive. And what I learned with this film, for example, that we have prediction means archive is something dirty and with the scratches, and it shows us that this is archive. Yes, and people, when they won't imitate archive, they just make like that. And also, it's interesting to present archive in another way. Absolutely clean and looks like it was shot yesterday. And it also impresses the spectator. Even it was such a big impression I have when I watch it after the guys work on it. So the same situation was with the sound, for example, like 15 years ago, with all this new technology, new programs, when you're using these Pro Tools and etc., when you can use unlimited line of sound, and like I can use like 1,000 line of sound or hundreds line and make sound very rich. And I start work in cinema when we have maximum 20, you know, and you have record and record again and again. And of course, now with this technology, the sounds start develop very fast. And, you know, this when you come to cinema, you would like to hear also a very good sound. And come back to the picture, with the picture, with even archive picture, it's a new possibility to work with and to show it in different way. And also in this this film, they shot on black and white and color. And when we edit this film, it was, I have only black and white material for editing, no, because everything was printed on black and white. It was cheap in that time. And when I received the scan footage, I realized that some shot is black and white, some of them color. And I decided, okay, I will not change anything. I will just use how it is. And it also create interesting effect when you see and color jumping, and you have another dimension, you know, in this game between color, no color.
Did you want to distort or twist, politically speaking, what these images were made for in 1953?
It wasn't a reason for what they shot. In Soviet Union, they shot because Stalin is a reason. You know, it's important to shoot, first of all, to shoot something. It's a big event for country. And after that, from with this footage, they make a film. They made film. It was shot specially for making film about Stalin's funeral. Of course, it is a propaganda film. It's impossible to make anything else. This film was made in special style, like propaganda film was made always. It is a voiceover which explain us everything, and also music above that, which give us a right mood. And even they didn't give possibility in film to have speeches for people who staying on mausoleum. They just explaining what these people saying. They just make it simply and short and saying that this kind of person addressing his speech to Soviet people and saying that we will continue everything what Stalin did, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. So, in this way. And of course, my method is different. I show what they shot and edit in a way how, for example, person who don't have, like Martianin, the person who is from Mars or from Moon, came to the Earth and tried to understand what happened there in that right moment. And I show it like, I would in a way, very carefully, step by step, how it happened, because, first of all, we don't have any idea. And second, you can see all Soviet Union. It's film present Soviet Union, idea of that state, relationship between people. You can read everything, and moral, ethic of that people, and way of behavior, and the God, because this is a film about the cult, personal cult, and this is religion cult. And I show the God and to whom all these people pray. You know, it's a description, let's say. This is what I did. This I described, like in Egypt, in pyramid, they described their life. I did the same. And I think it's a right connection between Egypt in that time and slavery and this system which exists there and the Stalin system.
So would you define this as some kind of historian work, because you are describing the events and you are recreating the chronology of the facts and footage and the real people that were attending the ceremony?
I'm not a historian, it's a scientist. I'm the person who show focuses. This is attraction. Cinema is attraction, and cinema have own rules, and scientists work in another way. And something for scientists which they have to describe are very boring for spectators, but it's necessary to do it, because it's a science ask, and to be a very correct. And in film I have to think about spectator, about the mood, about this composition, about culmination and what will be in culmination, about emotion. This historians, they didn't work with emotion. They just saying that fact and try to interpret this fact. I'm not an interpreter, I just show this fact in special way. And sometimes in my films, historical films, I made the tricks because of the rule of dramaturgy ask me to make this kind of things. For example, when I made film Blockade, the siege of Leningrad, all this dead body on the street was in the beginning. And if I start film from the dead body on the street, who will watch this film after? Because it's a very strong impact, and spectator after that cannot watch. You have to add emotion and you have to rise impression, but how more you can rise? Okay, and I changed the position, and position of that shots was later in the right place for the film, but not in the in the time. It's abstract time, let's say, when it happened, but in time when it necessary for me, for my film. So this kind of things, because first of all, it's a cinema, and second, everything else.
Cinema is about images, but it is also about sound, and sound is an important part of your creative process in documentary filmmaking. For this movie, Stage Funeral, was the footage silent, or were there also sound recordings alongside?
For this film, Stage Funeral, we have only two sort of sound. One is sound from all this funeral procession in the end of the film with the speeches. It is it was radio broadcast, and they keep in archive all this sound, and it means speeches I have. And also we have sound from the hall where Stalin's body was, and also music from. And also it was a speeches of Soviet writers for some special meeting, memorial meeting. And that's all. The rest sound we create. We made it in our studio. And find some like cars in sound library, and steps, this kind of texture we all, and also crying sometimes we all eat, we record and with the actors, and made it in very accurate way, and it was a special concept for the sound. It is sound is not it must be some things significant things must be correct, like coffin, if somebody have this kind of action and you put coffin and you immediately see this person, and the rest sound can be a little bit artificial, but in Zal when you watch it in film, it is accept by spectator like a real sound. This is what cinema doing. When you trust more to artificial things, even with the sound, then you trust to the real sound, because your focus is changed in this dark room. When you watch film, the things changed, and your acceptation and your sensibility is changed. And this is I know that this kind of things know every sound designer, I think. But we work in a way that we would like to have a feeling from the sound, like natural feeling, but it was a lot of works with unnatural things.
We watched the movie at the Centre Pompidou. The room was full and people were sometimes laughing. In the edit process, did you want to have sequences that were more comedy than description?
You know, if you show this film, for example, Pathetic, in Moscow in 1956, for example, nobody will laugh. This is what time did with us. And, of course, here is it's Paris 2020, and people with knowledge about Stalin time, and with this distance, with another education and with another concept of the world, of course they laugh because it's ridiculous what they are watching and listen, even this ridiculous, this is just time, what time did with us. It look I can compare that with old fashion, or people who dress in old fashion, they are always looks like a clown. You just laugh because subconsciously you protect yourself from mistake. The rest, I think, who is Henri Bergson, can explain more why people laugh.
With this movie, did you want to show to young Russians from 2020 what was the USSR like?
No, I just would like to show what was in that time, what happened in that time. And I believe that this distance will make this job. About what you're saying, I mean the time distance, it will be enough not to explain anything, people understand. But the problem is not the Stalin problem, not in this dangerous guy. Of course, this dangerous guy, the criminal guy who killed a lot of people, millions of people, he have his own responsibility. But problem is the people also. They share this kind of idea, and they was smart enough to follow to these ideas and to be a part of that society, you know, smart enough in brackets. So, and the most important thinking about people and how it was possible, what kind of moral and what kind of ethic, and it was very open. If you just have this time machine and moving in that time, you will also observe that like a relationship between a wild animal who pretended to be a ethical and moralistic human who fight for the bright future. Yeah. But it's very difficult to feel and understand it when you're inside society. It's easy now, sitting here in this warm atmosphere, in this nice center Pompidou, and watch it. This is a privilege. It's named culture. But they don't have in that time this kind of privilege. They can't, or not all of them, maybe some of them can realize what happened, yes? And maybe it was also dangerous, realized what happened, and after that decide not to be a part of that. So, and for me, it's most important question, why? Why development was like that? And another question, is it possible for that time another way how this country can develop after revolution in February 1917, February Revolution, if it was other chance, and where this wrong door which was open and now Russia continue the same development and same movement in same direction. Where this wrong door, and how to come back to that and close it and turn to the right way. This is why I would like to. I would like to make this film, but this film not only for about that. This it's a small part of this huge thing which we all have to understand. And film described only one small part. 3 days, just 3 days.
Well, thank you, Sergei Loznitsa, for this interview.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.